Accession number 11484 02.
Real 2. Yes, and going back again, if you don't mind, to the Arundor Star, you said that the periscope of the attacking submarine was sighted.
Yes. It was sighted. And it was very close to us. It was a perfect day. A kiddie crit at the Arundor Star. You couldn't have missed it. It was a perfect day. 6:30 in the morning. It was dead on 6:30. That is a fact for you. And this has been confirmed by 6 other people. On my watch, the guard post had been posted 6:30. It was deaf 6:30. The chap had fetched the food about 6:30. And I found out afterwards that he was the man that sank the Ark Royal in Scapa Flow as well. It was a... I don't think anybody, if he'd been there, could submarine command could hit that boat. It was so perfect in the water. But the thing that I can't understand, why it went out without convoy. People said it was because it was too fast for convoy. That's a lot of baloney again. It could have been in convoy. It was a shame, really. But I got my own opinion about this. I think myself that boat was sent out as a decoy. I have no mistake about that. Well, at the same time that that boat was going out, they were sending out children to Canada and children to Australia. And I think that this boat was deliberately sent out to take the submarines off the route. I got no idea. But I am really going to make a day of this. I'm going down to the public library in Kew, and I'm going to see the report of the Arundora Star and to see how much truth they've said about it, because I believe myself that the public haven't been told the truth at all. They've just been told a part of it. And I think I'm honest to say that I'm the only person that's ever come out and said what has happened, because other people, you've heard a lot of stories about the Arundora Star, but I had the best position. I was on the bridge of the ship. And I knew exactly what was going on. Other people were on the ship, other stories being told, but not the story that I was told, because this is a true story. I have no mistake about this. Because when Alistair McLean came to me, he told me that after I had done that interview with him, that my story was really good, he said. He liked to make a story of my lifetime, if he had his way. But he said, my statement had been substantiated by about 20 different other people. But
the actual impact, you know, when the torpedo struck.
When the torpedo struck, there was such an explosion. There was such a violent explosion. And it was laughable, really, because one of my men was in the toilet and he came out and he said, God, let me look at me, look at the state of me. All the stuff, all the excreta had come up and all over him. So we had to wipe him down as quick as we could and take his clothes off and give him a spare trousers. He stunk like a polecat. But it was laughable. But of course, we had the Welsh boys again while the boat was going down. They were all singing Mavanwy, and it was really, if somebody had recorded there and recorded about it, it'd have been a fantastic thing. In fact, a film producer that was on me with the boat said, if I had a camera today, it would make a perfect picture. In fact, after the war, can I carry on this? After the war was over, I met Mario Zampi. I was invited to go up and see him. And he came in and he was... When he met me, he got all over me and he hugged me and kissed me. And he said, Ivor, he said, I'll never forget you. He said, were you going to make a picture? He said. And a chap called... he was in Dad's army. His brother was in Dad's army. Oh dear, I forget the name now. He took the part of the AR warden in Dad's...
Bill Pertwee.
His brother. Patrick's brother had done a strip for him and he called it Our Friend the Enemy. And Mario Zampi was going to make a picture about it. And they had Michael Caine and those were going to do the thing. And Mario Zampi said, we're going to get somebody to take your part. And he said, what about Michael Caine? We're just the man for the job. And those, I'd say. And then Terry Thomas was there and a gang of more, and they all were going to chip in to make this picture. Matty was, I think Charlie Fortune had chipped in as well. But I think one of the women whose boys was drowned on the ship took an injunction of it and stopped them at that time. What happened, I don't know. But it would have been a wonderful show to have seen this picture being taken. But there it is, history it is, history again, and as you go holy, forget things, but I think I won't forget it.
Yes. The other thing I was going to ask you was, you know, you did say that the ship soon started listing.
Yeah.
Was it a very quick affair? You know,
15 minutes. It's exactly the ship listed, and it turned upright and went down in 15 minutes dead. 15 minutes, and then the cries of a mammy and daddy and all, it was pathetic. It was done. We were in the boat, then the tears are down our eyes to think what a waste of man's life. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Did you actually see it sink?
Yes, I was there. I saw it for the camera. I had the best view of the lot. And there were all my chaps, Welsh boys, and all of them hanging on the side like turkeys from a butcher shop. Couldn't get off the barbed wire. It was a disgrace. Because they had no life poetry. Not life poetry. And I was so... I was a devil may care chap. I didn't get a bugger for anybody. I spoke my mind, and I knew who got it at all. And I effed them blind, I tell you. I swore, I cursed and all. And when he got picked up on the boat, the destroyer captain came on to me and he said to me, "Was the bar to it? It was a disgrace." I said, "It was an absolutely a disgrace."
And then how much of the boat would have been covered with wire, you know, the top of it?
Well, see, what they'd done, they barbed wire the entrances to the gangways to the lifeboats. So it's impossible for you to get the lifeboats. Why they did this, because they thought that the internees would take over the boat and all the rest of it, see? But I didn't... this was one of the first boats to go across, see? And of course, it was a luxury liner, and they converted it. They'd taken all the good things out of it. It's the most. When I went down to first day there to the bunkhouse which I had allocated, I thought it was in paradise. I'd never seen such a beautiful stateroom with lovely sheets and the bread and all the rest of it, and towels in the room. We never had damn towels in my house. One towel would bring a lot of us. And it really made me, we're all right here, we've got lovely soap and everything, we can get over it, see? But then when I said, oh no, we go upstairs, when I saw the flights down, I wouldn't have it, I was upstairs, and my boys slept under with lovely blankets. It was the food, and when they say the food is out of this world, we never had the food on the boat, out in Sevilla Street that we had on the boat. The nice rolls and eggs and bacon, sausages. We were lucky if you had sausage in my house every 6 weeks. It was beautiful. Everybody spoke so well about it. And the crew, we got on so well with the crew. Of course, the boatsman, the head boatsman was a taffy, a Welshman. As you know, the Welsh were very clannish together. And once they speak Welsh, when you hello boyo, and there it is.
Yes. The other thing you mentioned, you know, in your very good description of this, was the lack of control. You know, once this had struck and it was realised that the boat had got to be, the ship had got to be evacuated, was there no control from the crew? Or
the discipline was what you'd expect from a British soldier. He took his orders as he was instructed to. Prisoners and internees in the boat first. Of course, a lot of internees and a lot of prisoners had no chance, because the fact was the torpedo hit the boat and the water came in and drowned them as they slept. Must have been hundreds of them. We lost about 1,000 people on board that ship. It was the greatest catastrophe of the war, I would say, because they didn't have no chance. And some of the boys couldn't swim. Someone didn't know what a life jacket was. They were jumping with life jackets off the boat into the water and breaking their necks. Because when you jump from the boat with a life jacket, you've got to hold on to the top here to go down. Not in the modern ones, but on those. And when you hit the water, it comes up and you break your neck, so you've got to hold it down. And a lot of them died that way. I had one my mate, Connie Evans. You wouldn't be told. Don't jump. Jump in me. No, he had to be big. I picked him up. Had his body in my boat with me. Then I buried him in sea. Do you think how painful it was for me that day? And I had to go to sea. To really bury that boy at sea. Knowing that a boy had been through hell with me in France and other places. It's really very bad, very bad. And Billy Ely with me, all these boys there that gave us survivors, they all went out and were killed in the war after that. Billy Ely went to Burma and he came back, and one day walking down the road and he slipped and he hit his head against Kermit and he killed himself. After we were all he went through, he had been killed in his own town. Or it outside his own doorstep. Terrible.
And you're also saying, you know, on the Arundora Star, before it was, before it sunk, that there were members of the crew or soldiers that got into the lifeboat.
Puss.
Yes. Were they crew or soldiers?
Soldiers.
Soldiers.
Yeah.
And you had to fire above their heads.
Get them off it, yeah. Cowards.
It sort of implies a bit of panic. Am I right in thinking that?
It was discipline. The thing was this. You couldn't very well blame them, really, because the part of the ship that they were on, they couldn't get them up to the other side because of the fact that the gangway had been blocked up, and they got into the boat. But when they came on to, when they did get away, all right, though they were chucked on that boat, they got into other boats, one or two of them, and the other ones got on the floats. But when they got on that ship, and I met the Sergeant Major, I told him what I thought about him in front of everybody. Though it didn't do me any good. I never got any promotion after that. But that was said when I'd spoke my mind. I told him what he was. Eh? And in fact, he wrote to me a letter the other day. He used to be a manager in Ober Colonial, down in Devon somewhere. And he wrote me, in fact, I got a letter there from another. I get quite a lot of letters from different chaps that they remember me, you know. And they send me letters. One letter I had from a chap down Hascot, yeah. He remembers me, and he has a laugh about it. But when I see these soldiers, especially the soldiers, and I meet them and they see me, and they say, how are you going on? And what are you going to do into my day and where you're working and all the rest of it? And we have quite a laugh. We laugh about it now, but it wasn't a laughable matter, you know. It's just very serious. When I go up to, I go to the reunion, I think I've been so sincere about this, so concerned about this that I went to Carlisle once and I seen a name on a shop. And I remember the name Mariotti. So I walked in there and a fish and chip shop it was. And I sat down to have fish and chips. So the girl came round and I said, excuse me asking you, I said, but was any relation to you on the Arundora Star? She said, yes, my father was. And she said, oh, she said, I was on the Arundora Star. And she said, what was you? And she said, I was a guard. She chucked the chips over me. Threw the plate over me. And I couldn't get over it. So I got up, new suit on, brushed my stuff down. And I was walking out, and the girl came after me and said, you must forgive her. I said, yes. I said, but she shouldn't do that, she said. So I didn't go in there after that. But I had another Italian in Carlisle, another Ralph Conti, who was on the Arundora Star. And I said, go there quite often. I told him. And when I was on the reunion, I go to the reunion every year down in St. Peter's Church in Clerkenwell. And she came on to me, tears down her eyes. She said, sorry, she said. Her father was on the went on the boat, the Donera. and they treated him something terrible. They did. And she thought, and she still, every year, she comes to the church there and she sees me, and she's the same as you. She brings me a rock cake.
There's something else you were saying about the lifeboats. You know, there's a lot of them not able to be used.
The lifeboats, in my opinion, the Board of Trade should be wrapped for this, because those lifeboats had never been tested since the ship was launched. The ropes holding the ship, I don't know if you understand how to launch a boat. You know how you've got to win the boat first. You know that, Neil. The crew has got... See, when you launch a lifeboat, you've got to be in the boat first. And then you push it out and you lower it down together. See, but they didn't do that. They were trying to launch them without anybody in. And, of course, the weight wasn't there. And you couldn't hold it because the string cut your hands to pieces. See, it's a way of doing it. You've got to be trained to do it. All the crew are trained to do it. But the fact was that the boat hit so quickly and the crew was all over the boat, stokers and all that, they couldn't get up to it. So these people, these know-alls, I call them, went to get it, couldn't do it. Now, when the boat, when I went to my boat was in the water upside down. It didn't panic me. I knew how to get that boat up because I'd been trained to do it. See? So I came down and upturned it quite easily. See? And then bailed the water, and after you got the water, put one in and bailed it out very quickly without steel helmets. But the thing was this, that there was no training. There was no posts for the people to assembly to get on the lifeboats. No life jackets for them at all. It's a good job there were no children and ladies on it. Yeah.
Yes. What was the scene like in the water, you know, when the boat was going down? Were there lots of bodies? And
yes. Bodies? See, what people don't understand is this. That when a boat is torpedoed, you've got to get away from the boat as quick as you can. Because the fact is, the suction, when she goes down, draws you down with it. See? So people have got little bits of rafts and stuff, I'll get away with it, and the boat went down, it goes down, and all of a sudden you see a boo, and all the steam comes up in the air, and the suction comes down. You see these people have been drawn in down, see? But some of them had expected this, and they came back up, see? And then after they came up, we went picking them up, as I told you. I picked the doctor up and all the rest of it. And I would say that the half of the, I wouldn't say the full amount, but the half of the people that lost their lives on the Arandoria lost it because they weren't trained to do what they should have done. This was the problem. There was no discipline. Though there was no... ill treatment of prisoners, that wouldn't be tolerated. We wouldn't allow it. Any of the Welsh boys wouldn't allow it, and the Scotch boys wouldn't allow it. Neither. There was no ill treatment of the prisoners. In fact, the Germans are very well behaved. They didn't stand in anti-panic. When the boat was torpedoed, they walked out in discipline in Langson, a little on getting in the boats.
But were there many dead bodies floating?
Oh, dear me. It's a scandal. It was terrible. It's as like as if somebody had threw a bomb in to blow up some fish. They were floating about there like a thing. We got some on the side and we picked them up, and if they had good clothing, I took the clothing off to give the bodies, didn't have any clothing at all. And I wouldn't allow them. I wouldn't allow anybody to be put in that water unless I'd said the funeral at sea. I always made sure that they had a funeral and took their next of kin, any evidence of next of kin. I would not allow any of them to go into the water unless they had been. When a person died aboard the ship, they said, one gone here, Taffy, and I go over there, he died. And I said, right, door, get on the end, and I say the prayers for him and put him over. And there it was.
What prayers did you say?
The same as I only said in a funeral at sea. It's in the common prayer book. We'd be singing in the ship, singing a different song. We'd sing Mavanwi, naturally, and we'd sing Caruso songs, and we'd sing Italian song, a Via Dacciadori, which is very well known to the Italians. And any of us had cigarettes, we shared them out amongst themselves. It was really, on board that ship, on board the lifeboat I was on, it was a family boat. Everybody was calling each other Christian. Come back and have a cup of coffee with me. But the poor devils couldn't give us a cup of coffee. They put on a Danera, don't they, to Italy. Terrible. And by the way, I have heard this week that the Italian government is going to give them a medleach. I'm very grateful. I'm very pleased that the Italian government's going to do this. In fact, they should give them medals as big as frying pans. They deserve it. All the survivors are. So next.
Did it seem a long time before you were spotted? I believe there was a plane.
A plane, you say, seaplane came, yes. Seaplane came.
Do you remember that?
Yes, remember it. I saw it. I think I saw it at first. I said, oh, there it comes, boys. They got some Welsh cakes for us. And I came over and dropped the thing, but we couldn't get at it quick. We were rowing as fast as we could get it, but they had a little motorboat there, and they got it. And share it. No, not share it with you, Welsh lot. They said that they wouldn't share it with us.
And when the Canadian ship came...
When this Canadian ship came on, and came on the side of it, and grabbed the ship doesn't stop, you know, you've got to grab the thing, get up. We got all the old people first, you got them up, and then I said, you're going to put a... Put your rifle butt into the boat to sink it, I said. I just sink the boat. There, say sink the lifeboat, see? So I got on board a ship and so this officer came on to me and said, what part are you from? I said, Wales. Oh, he's a Welshman here, he said. Captain, the captain's got a Welsh ancestor. Jones, his name was. His name wasn't Jones, his name was a French name, he had a little door. But apparently his mother came from Wales, oh, I couldn't go wrong, I was right.
Did they look after you well on the...
It was fantastic. How they're able, I think they do say, I'm open to contradiction, yeah, they reckon it was the greatest sea rescue of all times, that the amount of people you had on that boat and fed them and all, over 1,000 people, you know. We had lovely soup there, cigarettes, the rum was flowing like water. And I wasn't behind the line on that one, I tell you.
How many would there have been in your lifeboat?
In my lifeboat?
Yes.
At the finish of it, when I landed on the Lorraine, whatever it's called, I had 64 people in it.
And would you have been in charge of that? Did you take...
I took control. I took control of it. I had the rifle. I wasn't born being controlled, were I?
Was that necessary, you know, to have...
Oh, yes, discipline had to be kept up. You must have discipline and anything like that at all. There were sergeants aboard, but I didn't leave them to take orders. I wouldn't take orders from them. I had the rifle, I wasn't taking the orders. I got the boat up. I saved the boat from going down. I organised it, so I was going to take it, command of it. And they let me, because they didn't know nothing at all about boats. They were quite... some of these sergeants, they'd never... been on anything like this before. See, that, they were from different regiments. There was a chap there called Crowdy from the Dorset Regiment. Sergeant Fyander, Sergeant Rimmer, and they all were grateful that I would do it because I knew where the rations were. The hard biscuits. You want to get some hard biscuits? I tell you, you know what they were like. Big hard biscuits. No, have you ever seen the biscuits get on board a lifeboat? God, they like dog biscuits, big ones, see? And you have one of them each, and a small thing of water. That water lasts you a week, and the biscuits last you a week. And I go to, I didn't like the biscuits, give them here, I said, I'll eat them. I ate them, I didn't care what I'm from.
Did you have any problems, though, of discipline on your boat? You know, did you have to deal with people?
No. No, I had one incident on board the ship where a young Italian was trying to ship an old Italian out of a seat, and a German came along and bumped him, hit him, and told him, he said, "You leave the man alone." In good English, too. That's the only instance they had. The only trouble we had on our boat was the fact that chaps wanted to go to the toilets. That was the only trouble, and we. It's a laughable, really. We trying to go to the back of the boat, so they'd be at the back of the boat, putting the trousers down on the side, and the boys deliberately ship the boat to fall back in the water. There was a bit of fun there as well, though, to keep things going. But but at heart, it was a very sad day. When they shouted the list of the people that were missing, that was a very sad day. It was very sad.
Did you despair at any time that you might not get rescued, or did you imagine that you would be spotted?
No, I knew we'd be picked up. I didn't think we'd be picked up so quickly, but I knew we'd be picked up because we were in the steam line of the sea. We were on the routes where boats would pass in all the time, see? I did think about some. I had imaginations of in my mind sometimes to tell the boys, if we drift down and come to some native island and all the girls there with the straw skirts, wouldn't it be nice to be out there for the whole of the war? I said, guarding these women. And that's all we thought about, them pulling each other's legs, see? And then shouting about, oh, I bet your wife's got the insurance policy out now, getting all the money and all the rest of it. And a lot of the boys, you know, they didn't tell their wives they'd been missed off when they get shot of them, so they give wrong names. Yes, yes. Oh, yes, a lot of hanky-panky.
Did you read any newspaper accounts news at the time?
Yes, when we landed in Greenock, the Express came along and they were taking photographs and all the rest of it and statements. And the next day, they slashed in the papers, the damn lies. They said they were fighting on board the ships and everything. And I phoned the Express and said it was wrong. And officers give statements to this effect too. They were telling lies. But of course, they were getting the old dropsy, see? They were getting beer and all, giving them, you know, take them to the pub for interview. It was a place they were going to have an interview in a pub, wasn't it? Drink up, have a drink of whiskey. And they were getting drunk. When they came out to me, no comment. I wouldn't give them any comment. They took a photograph of me, that's all, but no comment. I was too busy looking after my own interests and my own boys' interests. I didn't want to be involved in that. I didn't want to go and get caught as telling lies, because that's what it was, all lies. And I made that very plain when I was on television. I did say in television that they're telling brave like gentlemen. I did say that. And this is why they're telling today... like me for it, because I came out on their side. No, there was no fighting, nothing like that. They behaved, all of them, the Germans and their Italians, they all behaved themselves like gentlemen, really like gentlemen.
And subsequent sort of inquiries into this, have you been following this with interest?
Oh, yes, very much interest, yes.
Well, have there been questions, for instance, asked in the House of Commons?
Michael Foot has asked some questions about it. My wife is always on to me about writing the story myself about this, you know. But it's all right writing the stories to get somebody to print it. And they don't print anything. They mess you around so many times. But I am waiting now until this reunion's over after 2nd July. And I myself am going to start a letter to it's no good taking it to a Conservative Member of Parliament. You've got to take it out to the Welsh Nationalists, I will take it to get them to have an inquiry into this. There should be an inquiry into this, why the boat went out. Why was it sent out? Why was it not marked, international markings? And this is it. And then we'll solve the story once and for all. Have you been down to the public little thing? Is there any big pieces there about the Annandale Star?